Welcome to another exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, Senior Site Editor of SearchDataManagement.com. Well, today we are talking about optimizing data warehousing projects with new data integration methods. To learn more, I called James Kobielus, Senior Analyst with Forrester Research and a leading expert on data warehousing, predictive analytics, data mining, and complex event processing. In addition to his core coverage area, Kobielus contributes to Forrester's research in business intelligence, data integration, data quality, and master data management, and he regularly posts to Forrester's information management blog. Kobielus has a long history in IT research and consulting and has worked for both vendors and research firms. Kobielus is also a widely published business technology author and has spoken at many industry events. I called him up to learn more. Welcome, James.
Hi, Hannah.
So historically, what has been the most common data integration method supporting these data warehousing and business intelligence systems, and why are people choosing that historically?
Sure, it almost goes without saying, but of course it's ETL, extract, transform, load. That has been the dominant data integration approach for data warehousing and BI for quite some time and remains as such. And ETL is dominant for some simple reasons. First and foremost, it is consistent with and supportive of the standard approaches to data warehousing and BI. In other words, ETL is all geared to extracting data from operational or line of business applications and databases, moving that data in batch to a central persistence node known as a data warehouse, and from there enabling that data to be retrieved into your BI environment, into your reports and dashboards and so forth. So ETL is very much geared to more of the batch, overnight delivery to a central node of structured data. And also one of the benefits of ETL is that it enables or it supports transformation, the T in ETL, on that data so that the data can be transformed from the schemas of the source applications to a canonical or enterprise standard schema or set of schemas for loading into your data warehouse. So in a sense, ETL is very much focused on semantic normalization of that data to a common data model for your organization. Also, ETL enables you to do cleansing, profiling and cleansing and enhancement on the data prior to its being loaded into the data warehouse. And that's very important because we often talk about a data warehouse as being your source of or node for persisting the single version of truth on your corporate operational data. And the truthiness, to use a phrase or a word from Stephen Colbert, the truthiness of that single version of truth depends on the extent to which you have cleansed and matched and merged that data prior to its being loaded in the data warehouse. So ETL serves many uses, and it's really the mainstream approach.
So what are some of the more interesting new technologies available for similar processes today?
In terms of newness, it's a relative term or concept in the data integration arena. There are many approaches that have been deployed for quite some time, ETL plus other approaches. But some are gaining ascendance or greater importance, have gained greater importance over the last several years. ETL certainly is not on its last legs. It remains the meat and potatoes of data warehousing. But some things that ETL doesn't do quite well or is not optimized for, there are other approaches that address those pain points or requirements, one of which is real time. ETL, as I said, is primarily focused on batch overnight extraction, transform, and loading of data into the data warehouse. That does not enable real time refresh, continuous refresh of the data in your BI environment and in your data warehouse. To enable more real-time access to updates to your corporate operational data, there are approaches that adapt ETL, such as trickle-feed ETL, which involves mini-batches of the most recent Delta updates to your corporate data being loaded every 5, 15, 30 minutes, or however long the window you set up. and loading in from your operational sources into the data warehouse. But trickle feed ETL is not new. It's been around for quite a while. There's another approach that's related to it called CDC, change data capture. And that's not, also not terribly new, but it's been given increasing focus by the industry, by vendors, and also by users in their real-time BI strategies. One of the most important events right now going on in the industry in terms of vendor rollouts is Microsoft with the upcoming SQL Server 2008. They have added a CDC, a change data capture module, to the SQL Server Integration Services tool under that suite. And, of course, SQL Server Integration Services has been primarily an ETL tool till now. But now it's going to be able to do CDC with equal agility to enable more real-time integration. But beyond, for real-time, beyond CDC, there are a number of other approaches, one of which is often called event stream processing or event processing or simply eventing, which really involves where CDC, the refreshes can be as often as every minute or every 5 minutes, you know, however your data integration administrators want to set twist that knob, as it were. Event stream processing is really focused on sub-second extraction, transformation, and movement of the data from your operational sources to your data warehouse, to your operational data store, to your data marts, and so forth. So event stream processing has gained greater importance in the industry. ETL vendor, for example, IBM bought last year a company called Data Mirror, a very strong real-time-oriented data integration tool vendor, who have provided, in addition to strong CDC, they also provide strong event stream processing middleware. At the same time, we also have companies like TIBCO, a middleware company, that provides event processing software, has been for quite some time. Last year, they acquired a BI vendor called Spotfire. And so they're now, within the TIBCO Spotfire architecture, able to support event stream processing in more distributed environments where you don't have a centralized data warehouse, but you simply want to stream those refreshes directly from source databases or applications all the way to your BI environment. And these are just two vendors. There are many other vendors that are going down the road of event processing. HP with NeoView, very strongly enabled for real time, both for CDC and essentially event-driven refresh of your BI environment through a data warehouse. And so that's one of the areas where ETL, traditional ETL, has not excelled, and other approaches, CDC, event processing, even enterprise service buses, ESB, that SOA technology has been deployed for real-time data integration. In addition to real-time, another frontier in the data integration space that ETL doesn't quite do optimally is the whole issue of unstructured data, moving unstructured data from source applications, from enterprise content management, from your Web 2.0 world and so forth, into your data warehouse and through your data warehouse to your BI environment. One of the things that's gone on in the last few years is that there has been an increasing trend by the BI and the data warehousing vendors to converge more unstructured and semi-structured data in their architecture. So providing the data integration middleware, providing the centralized persistence node, the warehouse, for storing unstructured, semi-structured, and structured data as essentially different data types that can be managed with a common set of tools for mixed query workloads and so forth. One of the things that's going on in the industry is that increasingly vendors are optimizing their ETL or enhancing it under a broad umbrella term called content ETL. So it's one tool set for both the traditional structured ETL, moving structured data, and also for now moving and transforming unstructured data, and so that it can be loaded into your data warehouse. IBM has gone fairly far down that road, but then you also have a number of vendors you don't often think of as data warehousing, but as vendors that come from enterprise content management, that background, vendors like Etivio and others who are providing content ETL tools and persistence layers, that is really a very hot trend in data integration. Also, in terms of ETL, what it doesn't do traditionally, what it's not optimized for, another area where it's really ETL traditionally has been a stovepipe from middleware environment from your enterprise service bus, your ESB. What we're finding more and more now in actual customer deployments is that customers, users, enterprises are relying to some degree now on their ESB backbones or message-oriented middleware, their enterprise application integration, all of that middleware fabric that traditionally has been more geared towards transactional application integration. Increasingly, they're using that also to some degree for ETL-type batch-oriented or near-real-time data movement. And one of the terms that Forrester uses to describe that that emerging new practice for data integration for analytics is called information fabric. Now, the term information fabric, it's got a broad set of meanings that Forrester applies to the term. It's an SOA, a service-oriented architecture middleware approach. It relies on enterprise service buses. It relies to some degree on event stream processing. It relies, information fabric does, on such approaches as in-memory and caching, distributed caching and so forth. That is also, Hana, a very hot new trend, new technology, information fabric for both real-time, but also for, you can also adapt it for batch or near real-time data integration. And let me just point out a couple things that are going on in the industry right now, one of which is Microsoft has begun to beta test its own information fabric middleware environment called, well, it's under the term Project Velocity. That's very important. Oracle last year acquired a company called Coherence, and they provide a an information fabric middleware environment called Coherence. And we see that increasingly, those sorts of architectures, there's other vendors as well, the information fabric being used as an alternative to ETL and CDC and some of these other traditional approaches for converging both your analytic, your BI, and data warehousing on the one side with your transactional application integration on the other side. One middleware fabric for both sides of the equation, analytic and transactional integration. So those are the major new trends that we're seeing.
Wow, there is some really interesting stuff in there, you know, from this information fabric concept you were just talking about, content ETL, I heard ESB SOA, event stream processing, CDC, trickle feed, a lot of choices it sounds like. So just wondering what the pros and cons are of some of these new approaches, why you might sort of head in one direction over another.
Well, the chief con of all these other approaches is that they're not familiar to your DBAs, your database administrators, and your data modelers, and your BI professionals, and the people who manage your data warehouse. These, quite often, are paradigms or tool sets or approaches that if you're an enterprise, your IT staff will probably need to get some retraining to be able to use these other approaches optimally, to know where to apply, for example, CDC and information fabric and content ETL. So in other words, you have to essentially go back to school or to the drawing board if you're a data warehousing professional to figure out, okay, wow, we got a lot of options here, and also we possibly may need to invest in some new tools and runtime components. Where do we start? There are so many options. It can be a little bit mind-boggling. So that's one of the chief cons. And another con of, for example, the real-time approaches like trickle feed ETL, CDC, event stream processing, is that they can put a performance hit on your data sources, your transactional line of business applications, because they are pulling, generally, if you're doing streaming continuous loading of your data warehouse using these approaches. What's happening is that these middleware approaches, real-time oriented ones, what they're doing is that they are retrieving data continuously or possibly every minute, 5 minutes, whatever, from your operational applications. What that means is that they can essentially, they often do steal CPU cycles and memory and disk resources from the transactional applications that those, you know, those source systems like your CRM system or ERP system are stealing resources from those systems and can potentially then bog down the performance of, say, your CRM or ERP or other source applications. So that is one big con of going real time. That's one of the good things about ETL is that the extraction of the data from these operational systems can be scheduled for overnight when those systems are being lightly loaded for their core transactional applications. So the more you go real time, the more of a potential performance hit on your source applications from that's due to the process of extracting updates from those systems. That's a big con that one needs to be concerned with. There are ways of addressing that, of course. I don't want to get into all those on this call, but that's definitely a big potential gotcha that your that customers, that users need to be aware of. Also, it's also important to know that, for example, content ETL and the convergence of structured and unstructured data in your data integration fabric, in your data warehousing fabric, in your BI environment. Right now, what we're talking historically and still for the most part, most BI and data warehousing environments are purely focused on managing structured data. That's what they do quite well. If you're going to start adding support for unstructured and semi-structured to that, to your existing data warehousing environment, that's a major re-architecture issue. That's a major project that you're going to need to bring together some teams of technical people that don't normally work together because they haven't need to. They've been in siloed environments. The unstructured and semi-structured, that's your enterprise content management team, most likely. That's also the people that are doing text analytics, in your organization, and possibly are also doing Web 2.0, they're going to need to sit down around the virtual drawing board, as it were, with your data warehousing and BI people and your DBAs. So in other words, you're bringing together two camps of technical people that haven't normally needed to work together. That's also a big gotcha, potentially. You need to work out the issues in terms of how do you put together a common architecture, how do you put together a common set of objectives that will help them to understand how they can best prioritize their efforts. Those are the major gotchas. But the pros of the new approaches, in a nutshell, is that they address a lot of requirements that ETL is not optimized to address. So whether you like it or not, if you're an organization that's got any degree of complexity to your requirements and has some real-time requirements, have unstructured data requirements that are going to impinge upon your BI and data warehousing strategy, you're going to need to explore these approaches and probably already are. So that's the pro is these new approaches address requirements that are increasingly going to dominate your BI and data warehousing agenda.
Is there anything else organizations should consider when deciding whether to stick with ETL or whether to move to one of these other approaches?
It's not really an issue of moving to the other approaches at the expense of ETL. ETL will remain and should remain your core data integration approach for data warehousing. For the reasons I stated at the beginning of this call, it conforms with the traditional and really still the dominant approach to decision support, where your BI environment's pulling data that's been batched overnight into a central persistence node, and then that node, your data warehouse, is essentially becomes a focus of governance of that data so you can provide a single version of the truth out to your users in their BI environment. So the thing to consider now is not so much, you know, is ETL on its last legs? Far from it. ETL is alive and kicking and growing. The important thing is now to expand your horizon, to look at these other approaches, and begin to work out the issues of when and how and with what tooling and with what reorganization of your IT staff and developers. All these issues, you're going to have to decide how to work these other approaches into your overall data integration strategy going forward. That's the thing. It's really a cultural issue as much as a technical issue. Bring together teams that haven't normally needed to work together this closely. They're going to get ever more intertwined.
So any final advice or additional resources you'd recommend on this topic?
Forrester Research is publishing a report on the different approaches for real-time data integration, and that's called Really Urgent Analytics, the sweet spot for real-time data warehousing, authored by yours truly. That's one resource. I might also recommend for those customers, these are, of course, available to Forrester customers. Also, Forrester has done some excellent coverage on the information fabric middleware approach, and the authors of that, those reports are Mike Gilpin and Noel Yohana. Those are available, of course, to Forrester customers. In terms of other resources, basically what you can do is, of course, you can Google or go to Wikipedia, and you really should if you want to get a quick level set on, for example, what CDC is vis-a-vis ETL, because CDC is also very much a mainstream approach if you want to go real-time. So there are plenty of resources available.
Thank you so much for talking with us today and sharing all of this great information and advice.
Always a pleasure, Hannah.
To learn more about James Kobielus and Forrester Research, visit Forrester.com and be sure to check out that information management blog. You can find both URLs on the SearchDataManagement.com landing page for this podcast. And of course, for more insight on data warehousing, data integration, and a host of other data management topics, please continue to turn to us here at SearchDataManagement.com. We have many articles, podcasts, case studies, advice, and resources. And remember, SearchDataManagement.com's RSS feeds are a great way to stay on top of the most important news and trends in the market. And if you have your own story, case study, thought, or article idea to share, please email us anytime using that email link on the page where you downloaded this podcast or on the SearchDataManagement.com homepage. You have been listening to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast interview about optimizing data warehousing projects with new data integration methods. My name is Hannah Smaltry, Senior Site Editor of SearchDataManagement.com. Thank you for listening and have a great day.